Hi, you're listening to Talking About Organizations, a podcast about management and organization studies brought to you with the support of the Icon Research Center at the University of Warwick. This is a summary of episode 19, where we discussed James March's widely cited 1991 paper that considered the organizational trade-offs between exploring new possibilities and the exploitation of existing knowledge and processes. To find out more, get the text, and for future episodes, please go to our website at www.talkingaboutorganizations.com. My name is Ralph, summarizing from Albuquerque, New Mexico. My partner and Talking About Organizations colleague is
Miranda, summarizing from Leamington Spa in the UK. So, let's start a bit with the background of the paper. March's paper, Exploration and Exploitation in Organizational Learning, was published on Organization Science in 1991. This work is a journal article that adopts a modeling approach to the problem of the allocation of resources between exploitation and exploration activities. March is known for his contributions to organization and management theory. Together with his Carnegie School colleagues Richard Syatt and Herbert Simon, March developed a theory of the firm that incorporated aspects of sociology, psychology, and economics as an alternative to neoclassical theories. The focus of the Carnegie School research was on organizational behavior and the application of decision analysis, management science, and psychology, in addition to theories such as bounded rationality for the understanding of organizations. The aspect of decision analysis considered by March here dealt with the perennial challenge that managers face of balancing exploitation and exploration, or innovation and efficiency. Exploration is related to search activities, risk-taking, experimentation, discovery, and innovation, while exploitation refers to production, efficiency, implementation, and execution. Both are necessary for organizational success, but they present a problem of resource allocation given that exploration is important for progress and future developments, but entails intrinsic uncertainty and risk given the unknown return on investments that may result from it.
The way March dealt with the issues he was exploring relied on the use of a model and computer simulation to simplify and explain reality. The use of a model as a simplified representation of reality is one of the aspects that challenged all of us in our reading of the article. Borrowing from the tradition of economics, the world according to this article is simplified and presented with a certain number of organizations and with employees with certain characteristics. Despite understanding the purpose and general epistemological view it was built on, we struggled with relating it suitably to the current business situations with which we are most familiar. Nevertheless, it is important to recall that this article was a cornerstone in the field of organizational studies since it opened the debate on organizational ambidexterity. March noted that identifying an appropriate balance between exploration and exploitation is complicated enormously by the fact that the same issues occur at multiple levels of an interacting system, at the individual level, the organizational level, and the social system level.
So March created two basic models of organizational learning in order to consider the challenges which managers face when allocating resources between exploration and exploitation: the distribution of costs and benefits across time and space, and the effects of ecological interaction among the members of the organization. The first model is a closed system with no employee turnover, and it examines the case of mutual learning between members of an organization and an organizational code, also known as organizational memory, within a particular organization. The second model, an open system that includes other firms and the movement of workers in and out of the organization, examined learning and competitive advantage in competition between firms for primacy. As noted in the abstract, the paper develops an argument that adaptive processes, by refining exploitation more rapidly than exploration, are likely to become effective in the short run, but self-destructive in the long run.
Now, March did not explicitly identify the assumptions built into the model, but your intrepid podcasters did a bit of reverse engineering, and we discern four. One, The environments internal and external to the firm are stable. 2, knowledge in the firm is stable. 3, knowledge is something tangible that can be managed. And 4, knowledge can be stored in some way through organizational memory. We were challenged as the podcasters with the simplifying assumptions March made in his models. It also made us call into question the validity of the conclusion that he reaches in his simulations using those models. When you listen to the podcast, you'll hear us debating that back and forth and struggling a bit with the concept of validity for March's findings. One way we helped reconcile it amongst ourselves is perhaps the simplifying nature of the assumptions helped focus more on the essence of what managers have to balance, but the details, which March leaves to others and organizations, may make it difficult to actually apply those insights. And March acknowledges that in the paper. Like us, listeners can probably think of many situations where these assumptions do not hold. Remember, however, that the models are very basic, and it is an open, impossibly empirical question as to whether violation of the assumptions invalidates the conclusions March reached in the paper, as I noted. Now, Miranda is going to talk about an interesting feature of the paper that's not really hinted at in the abstract, and that is the socialization of new employees.
Yeah, this is definitely an important topic, which is present in the paper. So March uses two simplified models of adaptation to understand the reasons why organizations would want to control learning and suggest some procedures by which they could do so. The first distinctive feature of learning in organizations is mutual. Organizations store knowledge in their procedures, norms, rules, and forms at the same time, and individuals in an organization are socialized to organizational beliefs. The second feature is that organizational learning occurs in the context of competition for primacy. So organizations often compete in situations where their relative position is very important. March argued that slow learning by employees resulted in higher equilibrium knowledge because the organization benefits from the new knowledge conveyed by the slower socialization of the new employees. The implications of this conclusion are predicated in the transferability of the simplified model to real-world conditions. March even noted in the paper that optimizing with respect to the fraction of slow learners is problematic, and that there are no obvious individual incentives for learning slowly in a population in which others are learning rapidly.
So what I think about this is it's not direct conclusions that you would use to apply in a business sense, but it does give you some things to think about when you're bringing new employees to an organization in terms of how quickly does it make sense to socialize them into the existing ways of the firm, and do they bring knowledge and experience and insight from their prior learning at other firms, or perhaps even if they haven't been at a firm before, that your organization could benefit from. And I found in my work life that new employees were an invaluable source of new perspective and new ideas. And in many cases, you have a limited amount of time, sometimes between 2 weeks and maybe a month or two, before new employees are socialized not to speak up about what they've learned before or how things were done at their last firm. And that time, when the new employees are still open to fresh insights, is a very valuable thing for managers to try to capture and see if you can apply or learn from those insights that the new employees bring. So in conclusion, learning, decision analysis, imitation, social relations, generation of new knowledge, and change brought about by technology are major parts of improving organizational performance and competitive position. Each involves adaptation and a difficult trade-off between exploration and exploitation. March attempted to show that learning in organizations is still possible even in the presence of causal ambiguity and other complicating factors. While the paper has been criticized by scholars besides the Talking About Organizations podcasters for its very simplistic model of organizational learning and lack of empirical data, a strong point of the paper may be the general insight it provides about collective learning under ambiguous conditions.
And that's all for episode 19. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this summary and found it to be of value. Please get in touch with us via our website or any of our social media accounts and let us know what you thought of this summary and of the podcast in general. We are always very keen to hear from our lovely listeners. Also, please share the podcast with your friends, colleagues, and students to get more people talking about organizations. Find out more on our website at www.talkingaboutorganizations.com, and please tune in next week as we discuss Collective Mind and Organizations, Heedful Interrelating on Flight Decks by Carl Weick and Carlene Roberts. We will be joined by a special guest for this episode, the retired RADM Tom Mercer, a career naval aviator who has actually landed and flown on aircraft carrier flight decks. This promises to be a very lively and interesting episode, so please do join us here on Talking About Organizations. Thank you.